From the book of Acts. We're teaching the book of Acts from the Greek text in which it was inspired and written by the writer by the name of Luke. Luke, by the way, I haven't said this for a while. We're going to review this for a moment. Luke wrote this. It is a history of the apostles and it is a history of God's churches. Some people think that Luke wrote this to defend Paul before the Roman government and the trials that he was going to face in Rome. It is a beautiful story of many people, many lives, and it tells the story of people dying for the faith of Jesus Christ. We think, as we live in a land, and I know we've had the world change on us in the last 6 months. I went to Bishop, California today and I saw some restaurants open for the first time in months. Some will never open again. Many people lost all that they have financially in the world. The churches in the book of Acts, especially in Jerusalem, the individuals sold everything that they had and gave it for the cause of Christ because they know that they would be nothing but pilgrims, wanderers, nomads in the land from then on. Now, we've talked about that in the first 7 chapters. We're in verse number 30. At the end of chapter 6, we have a great man come on the scene by the name of Stephen. Stephen means prince or crown. It comes from Stephanos in Greek. Stephen is rehearsing the whole history of the Jewish nation before the Sanhedrin court. And up to right now, in verse number 30, as he has been preaching to them the word of God, they can say amen and smile. But now he's going to start getting close to home. Their sin. He's going to expose their sins to them. And it was the same sins that their fathers committed centuries before, millennia. Stephen tells about Abraham, how the Most High God called Abraham into the land where they now stand. Because of the sins of Israel, they never had the privileges in the land that they could have. And now, because of the sin of national Israel will be no more for a time. They'll be dispersed throughout the world, but because of the Davidic and the Abrahamic promise, Israel will come back into the land. If you look over here to my right and your left, you'll see that we now have a whiteboard here that I can write on and to give you some illustrations. Behind me here is a chart that I've been teaching in front of for 50 years. We start out in eternity past. And we've preached all the way through the chart many times from eternity to eternity future. We're talking about a period of time right now where Christ has come and He's died on the cross. The law was fulfilled. The Mosaic law was fulfilled. Now, Stephen has got Israel up to the period of time where they're in Egyptian bondage. And there's where we're going to start now. Moses. With Moses. And then Moses See, Joseph was rejected by his brothers. Moses was rejected by the nation of Israel in the beginning. And they kept stabbing him in the back and cutting him in the sides all the way through the whole history of national Israel. Now let's start here in verse number 30. Chi, plerol, then tone, aton, tessara conta, ofthe, auto ente eremu, tu oros, xena, angelos, en flagi, piros bato. And having been fulfilled 40 years of Moses' life, 40 years Moses was in the house of Pharaoh. Now, remember, Stephen said that when Moses was born, Pharaoh had an edict, had a law on the books, which said that every Hebrew male child that was born was supposed to be exposed. In other words, taken and put in the river. Now, probably every Hebrew family built a little ark just like Moses was put in, and they pitched it, and they sent him down the river. Of no return. And they died by exposure. They were eaten by crocodiles and fish and drowned. But one person, God elected a man called Moshe. Moses. Moses had a lot of names. His father named him one name, his mother named him another, his uncle, his grandmother, his grandfather, all of them had a different name for Moses, and his brother and his sister, all of them had a name. They called him by those names, but Pharaoh's daughter called him Moshe. Moshe means to rescue, or to drag out. God used that man. He used that baby. Pharaoh had made the edict that every male child of Israel would die. But the Messiah child, the rescuer of the nation of Israel, the one that was going to rescue the nation of Israel, would be brought up in the house of Pharaoh. Pharaoh educated him and he fed him. And Pharaoh paid his mother to nurse him. God gets the last laugh always. After 40 years, Moses visited his people. And he saw one Hebrew harming another Hebrew. Before that, the day before that, he had killed an Egyptian for maiming a Hebrew. The next day, he tries to stop these two Hebrews from fighting, and they said, "Who made you a judge over us and a ruler?" God did it. God made him judge and ruler over Israel. That's who did. But they weren't ready yet for him. They had to reject him as Joseph was rejected. And having been fulfilled 40 years, it says that the messenger of God appeared to him in the desert of Mount Sinai. Sinai means thorn bushes, by the way. Did you know? Thorn bush. What kind of thorn bush, Mary?
Blackberry.
Blackberry bush. A blackberry or a raspberry thorn bush. By the way, on at St. Catherine's in Mount Sinai, they say they still have alive that thorn bush, that blackberry or raspberry bush that was burning. By the way, the bush didn't burn up. It says here in Mount Sinai, it says the angelos. Angelos means messenger. But also the word angel or angel of the Lord is the person of Jehovah in his pre-incarnate form. Now it says here there was a messenger, an angelos, in a flame, the phlogi of Piros, in this batu, in this blackberry bush. Now blackberry bushes don't burn very easily. You've got to cut them and dry them. But when you cut and dry a blackberry bush, it burns. Marilyn, did you ever have to clear out wild blackberries or anything, any place? Yeah. It's a job.
It's stickery.
Yeah, it's very stickery and a job. Now, this bush did not burn up. It wasn't dead. It kept burning. Just like in that tabernacle, which I had a picture of here, the pillar of fire that stood over the Ark of the Covenant didn't burn up. Didn't burn anything up. It just kept burning. As the angel of the Lord did in that bush. Hode Moshe. Edon. Ethamazen to Horama. Pros Erkamenu. De auto kata noese egenito. Phone Kirio. And moreover, the Moses, having seen, he kept on being traumatized and marveling at the vision, the Arama. And approaching, as he approached it, to take notice. That word here means to down-know. It means to understand what was going on. Became a voice or the sound of Jehovah. Kyrio, Jehovah. The word Kyrio in the New Testament where it talks about Jesus, when they talked about Jehovah in the Old Testament, in the Greek Septuagint Old Testament, is Kyrios or Kyrio. So here we have Jehovah speaking to Moses. Ego ho theos ton pateron. Si ho theos Abram, kai Iksak, kai Ikabu, entromas de genomenos. Moshes uk etolma kara anose. For I am the God. Ho theos, ego ho theos. Ego ho theos, or ego eimi, is in Exodus 3:14. And Moses said, who shall I say sent me to them? And God said, say that I am that I am. Asher, ayah, asher. I am that I am. In the Greek Septuagint, it says, ego eimi. And here it's used, ego ho theos, ton paterum, I am the God of the fathers belonging to you, and the God of Abram, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. It says here, moreover, trembling. He came to the point of trembling all over. And it says, Moses did not dare to try to understand what was going on here. Kata noesa. Epen de autoho kyrios. Lison ton hippodema ton podon su ho gar topos f ho estikos ge Hagia Eston. And he said to him, the Lord, Jehovah, you loose the sandals the underbinders, is what it says, hypodema. The underbinders under the feet. Now, shoes actually are bound under the feet. What they do, at that time, they had maybe a piece of leather or whatever, thick, and then they would take thongs and tie over the top of it. Now we have Justin boots, we have the Kona boots, we have Florsheim shoes, and SAS shoes, San Antonio shoes, whatever. But they're all underbinders. Some way or another, the sole is bound under the foot. He said, so take your shoes off. Moses, take those Florsheim shoes off of the feet of you. For this place upon which you are standing is holy ground. And then he says here in verse number 34, Adon, Adon, Tain, Kakusin, Tu, Lau, Mu, Tu, En, Egypto, Kai, Tu, Steno, Stenogmo, Alton, Akusa, Kai, Katabane, Exeleste, Altus, Kai, Nin, Duro, Apostolo, Cas, Egypton. What's the word in Hebrew for Egypt, Marilyn, you remember?
For
Egypt. Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim. Okay, this is Egypton. This is where we get the word Egypt in our language, in English. It's from the Greek word, Egypton. Hebrew is Mitzrayim, which is the land of red mud and canal banks. In other words, irrigated country. And it says, I, having seen the ill treatment of the people of my people by those in the nation of Egypt, and their groanings I heard, and I have come down to rescue them. I've come down to Moses them. Moshe. I've come down to rescue them. And now, come, I will send you into Egypt. Now, we know the story a little better than what Stephen is writing. He's not tutting down everything. When Moses was told by God that he's going to go down, he's going to be a spokesman, what did he say, Marilyn? What did Moses say? I can't do it. That's what he said, didn't it? He said, I can't speak. I'm tongue-tied. I have a speech impediment. I can't do this. And what did God say to them? Who made man's mouth? Who made your mouth? Yeah. Now, the book of Jasher says that when Moses was a little bitty baby, that Pharaoh got mad at him, and that he took some black stones and coals of fire, and he put them down in front of that little boy. And Moses picked up a coal of fire and put it in his mouth, and it burned his mouth, and it affected his speech the rest of his life. Now, that's what the book of Jasher says. Whether that's true or not, we do not know. But he had some type of speech impediment. Verse number 35 now, Moses is going to be like a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron, his brother, is going to be like a prophet. Now, that's the story behind this story. Tuto ton Moshe hon ere nesanto ipontes tc kata estes ten arconta kai the Kaistein, Tuto Ho Theos. Kai Erconta Kai Litrotain Apestalken Sin Kere Angelou Tu Athentos Auto Ento Bato. And this Moses, whom they denied. They didn't want Moses, remember? Who made you a judge and a ruler over us? having said, who appointed you a ruler and a judge? This one, the God, both ruler and redeemer, he sent with the hand of an angel, having appeared to him in the bush. Verse number 36. Houtos exegongen, autos poiesos, terata, kai semia, enge aegypto, kai en erythra, thalassen kai en te eremu, ete tesara canto. This one, he led them forth, having made wonders, terata, terrible signs, and semion, and great miraculous signs in the land of Egypt. Now, here we have, matter of fact, Stephen is quoting the Septuagint, he's not quoting the Hebrew Bible. He didn't say Mitzrayim, and now he's going to say the Red Sea. Now, in the Hebrew Bible, it doesn't say the Red Sea. It says the Reed Sea, the Sea of Reeds. But he's quoting the Septuagint. And in the Sea of Reeds and in the desert for years, for 40 years. Houtos esten ho Moshe, ho epas, tois huiois, Israel prophetein himen anastasin ho theos kai ecto adelphon himon hos eme. And this is the one that the Moses, having said to the sons of Israel, a prophet to ye I shall raise up the God out of the brothers of you just like me. This is prophecy, people. Jesus is going to rise up. He's going to be a great prophet to you, but God is going to send himself in the person of mankind through the seed of the woman, which would be Mary, and we will have Jesus, Jehovah saves. Verse number 38 now. Houtos esses ho genomonos, en te ecclesia, en te eremu, meta tu angelu tu, lalontes auto ento ora hisina kai ton, pateron himon hos edaxoto, logia zonta dune himen. This one, he is the one having begotten in the assembly. That word ecclesia there, that's the word church. In the assembly in the desert, the wilderness, with the angel, the one speaking to him in Mount Sinai, and of the fathers of you, who he received for himself oracles. Living oracles to give to you all. Let's go back and read this now from verse 30 to verse 38, and that's where we'll stop for tonight. And when 40 years had gone by, there appeared to him in the wilderness desert of Mount Sinai an angel in a flame of a burning bramble bush, actually blackberry bush. And Moses saw it and was astonished and marveled at the sight. But when he had went close to investigate, there came to him the voice of the Lord saying, Jehovah, I am the God of your forefathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses trembled and was so terrified that he did not venture to even look, or to try to see or understand what it was. And the Lord said to him, remove the sandals from under your feet, for this place where you're standing is holy ground and worthy of veneration. The reason why it was holy ground, because God was there. Churches aren't holy places except when God is there. And then it becomes a holy place. Because I have most assuredly seen the abuse and the oppression of my people in Egypt, and have heard their sighing and groaning, I have come down to rescue them. So now, counsel, I will send you back to Egypt as my messenger. Exodus 3, 1 through 10. It was this very Moses whom they had denied and disowned and dejected, saying, who made you a ruler or a referee or a judge whom God sent to be ruler and deliverer and redeemer by and with the protecting and helping hand of the angel that appeared to him in the blackberry bush? He it was who led them forth, having worked wonders and signs in Egypt at the Red Sea and during the 40 years in the wilderness desert. It was this very Moses who said to the children of Israel, God will raise up for you a prophet from among your brethren as he has raised me up. Deuteronomy 18, 15 and 18. This is he who is this assembly in the wilderness, was by go-between for the angel who spoke to him on Mount Sinai. And our forefathers had received to be handed down to us as living oracles, words that still live, and words that give life and words that give death. Verse number 39, one more verse. And it sets the stage for the very next little episode in Stephen's story. Ho uk athe leison epikau genese hoi pateras himon ala aposanto kai estra feison en Hes, Karias, Auton, Es, Egypton. To whom not he wished to be obedient to become the fathers of us, but thrust away and were turned in the hearts of them unto Egypt. Story over and over, the same story over and over again. Over and over. And yet our forefathers determined not to be subject to him, refusing to listen to or obey him, but thrusting him aside, and they rejected him, and in their hearts yearned for and turned back to Egypt. What a sorry story. But it's just like all of us, isn't it? God gives us eternal life. The Old Testament was written to us for parables. It says really a parable. There's a parable of the two sons in the New Testament. One son was obedient and one son was disobedient. The one son that was disobedient went out and he asked his father, which was a very dishonorable thing that he asked his father. He said, give to me all of my inheritance. Now, before you die. Now the father, in all right, should have said, kill him. Kill him. That was, in other words, he wished his father dead. Now he went off and he lived a horrible life, didn't he? He spent all the money that his father had earned hard labor for. You know, easy money goes easy, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. When people don't earn something, they are very frivolous with it. When you go out and you sweat and you and work in hard pain and labor for something, you appreciate it a whole lot more. When it's given to you, it's easy come, easy go. Well, it was easy come and easy go. And he spent all of his fortune that he didn't even deserve on riotous living. And then he saw that he was out there in the desert of life. He saw he's out there with no hope. And he said, in my father's house, all of my father's slaves are well fed and clothed. And here I am out here wishing to be fed with the bean pots that these swine are eating, these pigs, which is an unclean animal. And that's where I'm living, out here with the hogs. And he said, I'll go back home and I'll tell my father that I have sinned. And I'll say to him, treat me as one of your servants. I am not worthy to be your son. All of us in this world are worthy of hellfire, aren't we? Yet God, with his mercy and his love, forgives us of our sins and said, come here. He kills the fatted calf for us and he blesses us with all the blessings of life. And we still are wayward children, aren't we? We're still wayward children. But we know that we have a God that loves us, that gives us the mercy of repentance and love. And that boy repented and went home, didn't he? He never had the inheritance he could have had. He never had it. But he had a father that loved him. And before he even got there, the father ran to him with tears and saying, oh, my son that was lost but now is found, was dead but now is alive. We look at our children in this world. We give them the best we have. We should. We ought to give our children the best we have. And when we've done all that, all we can do is turn them over into the hands of God to love them as we have loved them and to try to do with them what we couldn't do. As that man that had the prodigal son and the other son. What kind of a mother and father are you for your children? What kind of a child are you for a mother and father? Are you the wayward prodigal son and daughter? Are you the one that follow him? Jesus died for your sins. We need to recognize that. We need to love him as he loved us. Not to get saved, not to get to heaven, but because he loved us first. We need to love him. He needs to be our first love. He needs to be the love of our life. When we leave this world, there is nothing going to be in glory more glorious than Jesus. You know, Marilyn really loves me. But I tell her, I said, when you leave this world, I said, you're leaving me behind if I outlive you, that is. And I said, I won't be very important to you in heaven. She said, oh, no, forever. You know who will be important to you in heaven, Marilyn? It's not me. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. That's going to be your first love. That's going to be your love.
Today, tomorrow, and forever.
Jesus will be your first love.
Forever.
He will be your first love. He will be my first love. We are his bride if we are so worthy, or we're guests at the wedding. But he is the only one in heaven that shall be worthy of our love and our devotion and our praise as we sing them to Him with perfect notes there. You, my students out there all over the world, I thank God that God has given to me, you to me, to be in my care, to feed you, to nurture you, to go and meet the God of glory. The God of glory. Jesus is the God of glory. Stephen told them, the God of glory, the Most High, El Elyon, sent me. He appeared unto Moses. He appeared unto Abraham. Appeared unto Jacob. And he told them, go and possess that which I have given you. God gives you eternal life now. And He gives you peace and happiness in your heart when you follow Him. Father, I pray for all of those out there that hear this word tonight about the God of glory and the God of forgiveness and the God of love. And Father, forgive me where I fail you. Forgive me, a sinner that looked unto you. Help me to preach and glorify you with my life and your word. In Jesus' name I pray.